I'll call the meeting in order.
We are good to go.
Okay. All right. So December 16th, 2020, meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. Chuck, I assume you or David have started the recording. Okay, thank you. All right, so I'll do a roll call of the board members. Sandy Ballard.
Here.
Thank you. Mike Angelo.
Here.
Dean Morgan.
Here.
And I believe Lindsay Drew is not able to join us today. And Steve Seidel, I'm here. All right, let's start with our minutes from the last meeting.
I move to approve the minutes as drafted.
I have a second.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excuse me, so it's easier for me to capture the minutes. Could you say your name when you make a motion so I know who it is? Thank you.
Okay. All right. We have one item of old business. Adoption of a decision in the case of McDonald's USA LLC. I will propose a motion to approve that decision and I'll read it here in a moment. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Sandy will second it.
Thank you, Sandy. Okay, I'll read that and then we can, if there's any discussion. One second here. I thought I had it open, but I don't. Okay, so this is the order, today's date. The applicant's request for a special exception pursuant to section 225-502.10 regarding the sign area relief is granted. The applicant may install two signs in each of the two drive-through lanes, with one being a pre-sale sign of 11.71 square feet each and one being a menu board of 21.80 square feet each for a total sign area of 67.02 square feet. Number two, the applicant's request for a variance from 225-401.F.B.2.C regarding the number of signs per drive-through lane is moot as a result of the special exception being granted. Number three, the applicant's request for a variance from 225-401.F.B.5.E regarding the use of a color display and changing images is granted. The applicant may use a color display that changes images up to four times a day, excluding the area of the sign used for confirmation of orders. Number four, the applicant's request for a variance from 225-401.F.B.5.F regarding the brightness is granted. The signs may have variable screen brightness from 2500 nit full brightness to 500 nit to prevent glare in low light or nighttime conditions. Number five, the relief granted herein is strictly contingent on the requested signs automatically adjusting and shall not contain animated images. Number six, the applicant shall construct the improvements in strict compliance with the plans and specifications submitted to the board during the hearing of this matter, provided, however, that if the improvements that are the subject of this hearing as finally constructed require less relief than granted by the board herein, no additional relief from this board shall be required. Number seven, except as extended by applicable law, the relief granted herein shall be valid for 1 year from the date hereof. In the event the applicant has not, within the time period provided herein, commenced operations, applied for a building permit relative to the improvements where permits are necessary, or constructed the improvements not requiring permits, the relief granted herein shall be deemed to have expired and the applicant shall be required to comply with the then existing terms of the zoning ordinance. Number eight, any violation of any condition imposed herein shall be a violation of the township zoning ordinance and shall be enforced as provided in the ordinance. Okay, is there any discussion?
I have none.
Mike, I believe you were not at the hearing last month. So
correct.
You will abstain. And Dean, you, I think, had indicated that due to a potential conflict of interest with a neighboring property that you were going to recuse yourself. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So all in favor?
Aye, aye. Sandy.
And Steve Seil, aye. So this passes 2-0. Can I ask for a motion to authorize the chairman to sign this?
So moved.
On behalf of the board. I'll second it. All in favor? Aye. Steve Seil. All in favor of that? Sandy, you're on mute.
Aye. Sorry, I didn't.
Thank you. Okay, that passes 2-0 as well. Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on then to, we have three new business items here tonight. So let me just say before we get started, we have a fairly full agenda compared to from prior meetings. So I wanna make sure each applicant and any members of the public have, you know, adequate time and to present their case or their concerns, as well as for the board members to ask questions. But I will ask all three applicants to, you know, please keep it moving along. And, you know, we do have your applications that were submitted, you know, nearly a month ago. We have those, you know, so assume that we have reviewed them and please summarize and focus on the key points as you move through your testimony. So we'll get started then. We'll open the hearing in the case of Hershey Square, case number 2020-13.
Steve, before you begin, could we have David put on the record the efforts made to include the public due to the COVID pandemic?
Yes, thank you, Megan. I'm sorry, I forgot that piece. As far as why we're doing a Zoom meeting. Thank you, David, go ahead.
Derry Township, in light of the COVID-19 outbreak in the United States, has taken precautions such as moving township meetings to a virtual forum such as Zoom. The township has continued to post postings in the paper and on the website, including the link for this zoning hearing board meeting, and will continue to do so until further notice. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Okay, so who do we?
Before we begin the hearing, I just wanted to disclose that I represent one of the tenants who are referenced in the application of Hershey Square 2014 LP. I represent Where the Wild Things Play in their corporate matters, but I note that their sign is not subject to the relief requested today. However, I wanted to disclose that and make full disclosure of that. That would not impact my advice to the board in my role as solicitor.
Okay, thank you, Madam. Okay, so who do we have here for Hershey Square tonight?
Good evening. My name is Charles Sir. I'm an attorney with Stevens and Lee in Harrisburg. That's me right here. And with me, I have Pablo Medeiros. Pablo, can you just raise your hand? Could we swear him in, please?
Yes. Okay. So, Mr. Sir, you'll be soliciting testimony from your client, but not testifying to factual matters yourself.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So we can swear him in. So, Mr. How do you say your last name, please?
It's Medeiros.
Medeiros. Mr. Medeiros, could you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, you may proceed.
Great. I would like, if I could have screen share capability. Do I have that?
And just before you do, I do want to mention that we do have a person in attendance, Carter Wyckoff. But go ahead.
Is that a yes? I do have the screen share. I have PDFs I'm going through the exhibits.
Chuck, are you able to arrange that, please?
You should be able to just take it.
Okay. All right. That's great. All right. Good evening. My name is Charlie Sir. I'm an attorney with Stevens & Lee in Harrisburg. I'm here this evening on behalf of Hershey Square 2014 LP, which is the owner of the Hershey Square Shopping Center in Derry Township. It's along Hershey Park Drive and May Street, and Hershey Square has owned this property since 2014. It's currently a relatively large strip shopping center without parcels. It was anchored with the Weiss and the now vacant Kmart store. It has a few out tenants with a variety of retail and commercial uses with several detached buildings. We were last before this board in 2015, which dealt with the realignment of the state store, as well as a reconfiguration of what was a formerly bank property and a rebuild into a mixed use facility. At that time, we were in here for parking variance and his time extension to complete the improvements. So the project we have going on right now is a redevelopment of the vacant Kmart site. That's the part that's before this board. We also have another building being constructed on the property for a restaurant facility going in. The purpose of the project is to redevelop the Kmart site into a multi-tenanted facility. The work is ongoing right now. We have approval from the township. We're doing interior work. We're doing facade work right now with anticipated work to be done sometime in the springtime. The relief we are requesting before the board tonight relates to signage for the new multi-tenanted site. There's a variance specifically to allow the proposed signs, the individual signs, to exceed 45 square feet each. There's no issue with the number of signs, and there's no issue with the overall sign area. It's just simply a limitation for each individual sign area that's being proposed on the building facades. With me this evening, introduced is Pablo Medeiros, representing the ownership and the project development. And he will be offering the testimony this evening. I will say also, we do have a representative from Planet Fitness. Todd Chively's on here in case there are questions. I don't plan on having testimony from him, but if someone has a question from him, he is certainly will be available to answer something.
I'm good
to go.
The Planet Fitness man, I did not hear you say his name.
Sorry, Todd Chively, okay. Chively.
I just didn't hear you. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to make sure that that we swear him in if he's going to provide any testimony or response to questions.
Sure. Okay, so, thank you. And Pablo, you were sworn in, right? I forget.
I was.
You were. All right. Todd, can we swear you in? Todd, get out of mute.
Yeah, you can. If you need me to, sure.
Yeah, we can swear him in now if you like. Why don't we just swear him in now? That way we've got it covered, okay?
Sure.
see. Oh, there you are. Okay. Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Hey, thank you. All right, you may proceed, Mr. Great, how do you say your name, Mr.
Shively?
No, Shively, the attorney.
Sir, like S-I-R. Sir.
Okay, all right. I thought I was saying it right, but I want to make sure. Thank you.
Yeah, that's fine. You, whatever. And I'll answer to almost anything. Todd, thank you. You can go on mute. All right, Pablo, can you introduce yourself to the board, please? State your name.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Pablo Medeiros. I am the director of development and construction for Heidenberg Properties, the parent company of Hershey Square LP.
And where are you located?
I'm based in New Jersey.
And what are your general responsibilities?
I am I oversee all redevelopment, construction, and property management of our the multiple shopping centers that we own. We own approximately 20 shopping centers.
And is scattered through Pennsylvania and New Jersey?
They're scattered from Vermont to West Virginia.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about Heidenberg Property Group. They're the parent company here. That's who your employer is.
That is correct.
They're owners of shopping centers and developers.
That's correct.
Now, the owner of the property is actually Hershey Square 2014 LP. What's the relationship between that and Heidenberg Properties, your employer?
Hershey Square is a wholly owned subsidiary of Heidenberg Properties.
All right, so it's effectively a special purpose entity which was created to own this property, right?
That is correct.
Okay, and is that how you operate most, Heidenberg operates most of the properties?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, and are you authorized to speak on behalf of Heidenberg Properties as well as Hershey Square 2014 LP this evening?
I am.
And are you familiar with the property subject to the application?
Very familiar, yes.
And are you familiar with the Zoning Hearing Board application that was filed for this evening?
Yes, I am.
And are you familiar with the relevant sign ordinance regulations within Derry Township?
I am.
And are you familiar with the needs of the tenants that are going into the former Kmart site as it relates to signage?
I am.
Okay, great. Now I'm going to try to do something here, which is called share screen. And I hope I can do this. I have my daughter here to help me out. So let's see what happens. I have a series of 10 exhibits, which are going through. And here we go. Hey, does that work? Can everybody see that?
There we go.
It looks like a plan.
I can see it.
You can see it. Okay. All right, Pablo. So what I'd like you to do, first of all, is I'd like you to describe pretty much identify what do I have on the screen right now?
This is an overall site plan of the shopping center.
All right. And then I point on the side here, we have Route 422 on the right-hand side, which would be the eastern side. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And we have Hershey Park Drive down towards the to the bottom, which would be the quarter of the southwest portion.
That is correct.
And approximately how large is this, is the shopping center?
I want to say it's about 220,000 square feet of total retail, I think covering, I want to say about 20 acres.
Okay. And the current zoning is GC General Commercial, as well as the General Sign Overlay District, as far as you're aware. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble hearing you, Mr. Sir.
Okay. I'm sorry. Is it the volume or am I fading out?
You're fading out at the very end, and it's the volume as well.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll try to speak louder. And the current zoning is General Commercial, as well as General Sign Overlay District, as far as you are aware. Is that correct?
That, as far as I know, yes.
All right. And just so we have a general orientation here, I'm going to circle with my cursor, if we can see it, the Kmart area, and that's over in the upper right-hand side. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Right. And that's the area we're going to be talking about, which is subject to the application. Is that right?
Correct.
And then the area that's down here marked as number 7, just so we know, that's also new. That's going to be a restaurant, correct?
Yes, a fast casual restaurant, currently under construction.
but that's not subject to tonight's application, but
it's part of it. It is not. Right.
Okay, great. All right, so now I'm going to switch exhibits. Let's see if I can do this. Okay, I'm showing what this will now, the first will be marked as exhibit one. This is now going to be marked as exhibit number two. And can you identify what this is?
The deed of the property.
All right, and is this then indicate that it is owned by Hershey Square 2014 LP, correct?
That is correct.
And this is the property that's subject to the application, correct?
That's correct.
And I'll just go through, we have the first page, a couple more pages on here. So you go through, this is the full deed. Okay, great. Just bear with me. Okay, I'd like to talk a little bit about the project first. Can you describe what's happening with the reconfiguration of the Kmart site?
So the Kmart became vacant approximately 2 years ago. It's 107,000 square foot building. We are converting that to ultimately it'll be six tenants as shown on the plan. Right now there are five tenants under lease. Those tenants are Five Below, TJ Maxx, Big Lots, Planet Fitness, and Where the Wild Things Play will be behind the Five Below. So we're.
What's the status of the construction?
We're approximately 50% complete.
And when do you anticipate completing? Or
opening date? We expect all new tenants to open in the spring of 21.
Now, what I have on the screen now is a mark as exhibit three. And can you identify what this is?
The application for to the zoning hearing board.
Okay, and if I just flip through here, give the application form that's signed by me, then we have a narrative attachments on here. Was this, the application authorized by you to be filed? Correct. And this, of course, sets forth the rationale for our relief, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so let's go straight to the relief. We are asking for signage relief as set forth in narrative attachment, which is on the screen, particularly the maximum area for a wall sign, which is found in zoning ordinance section 255-401. 4B1, table 36, as you can see on the screen right now. And as I said before, there is no limit on the overall signage of the property within the zoning ordinance. And now, Pablo, does the property have more than 300 feet of frontage along Hershey Park Drive?
It does.
Okay. Now, let me go to... 1, 2, 3. All right. Let me go what I've marked now as exhibit number four. And could you just describe in general what we're showing? Now, this is what was submitted with the application. We're going to have two pages here. Just one page here. What is this?
Yeah, that is a rendering of the front elevation of the former Kmart building, showing the major new tenants of that building.
All right, so let's start over here. I'm going to kind of cursor around. Let me move this up. Cursor around the first one here. We have Five Below. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then there's something little right here.
Where the Wild Things Play.
Okay, and again, that's while it's part of the renovation, it's not. There's no relief being sought relative to that tenant, correct?
That's correct.
And next to that, what do we have?
TJ Maxx.
And then going to the right?
Then Big Lots. And finally, then, Planet Fitness.
Right. So these would all encompass what is just currently the Kmart facade, correct?
That's correct.
So I'm going to flip back to exhibit number one. This are all clear. So this is now starting from this little area here that says one. That's correct. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, so that's the area we're talking about, for that, the requested signage. And then above here, we have, these are the individual signs that are out here. And we have other exhibits we'll go through real quick, but this is a summary of the various signs. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, the individual tenants have requested signs on here. These appear to be signs that are familiar. I've seen them on other retail stores before with the same name before. What's the kind of the purpose of these signs coming in here with these tenants?
Brand awareness is a vital aspect for retailer success. Everybody's seen advertisements for all of these tenants at one point or another, and it's for basically instant recognition upon seeing them.
Okay, let's go down through some of the individual signs that we have. We'll get them into the exhibit. I have what's now been marked as exhibit number 5. Can you identify what this is?
Actually, there. That's the specific sign drawings for the 5 below.
Okay, and what's the area of the 5 below sign?
It's actually better shown on the other exhibit, but it's 200. And I believe it's 224 square feet.
All right. And if I go to the application here on the screen here, I have the areas listed on here. We won't have to necessarily go through with them. Are those areas that are on here correct for each sign?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
You are correct.
And I just won't repeat that question then. So here we have the 5 below sign. Let's go to, I've marked as exhibit number 6, and can identify what this is.
The TJ Maxx detailed sign drawings.
Yeah. So it shows the facade with that sign.
That's correct.
Let's go to, I've marked as exhibit number 7. What's this?
Actually, not up on the screen. There we go. Big Lots detailed sign drawings superimposed on their facade.
And then we have the final one here. We have Planet Fitness. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So these represent more all that last series of 5, 6, 7, 8 exhibit represent details showing the signs, which is represented in the overall exhibit, which was exhibit number 4, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. And then there was reference to the Where the Wild Things. They do have a proposed sign, but it is less than 45 square feet. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And is that also a significantly smaller lease space than these other tenants?
Yes, the total square footage of that space is approximately 4,000 feet, and they have a double door, or actually a single door entrance. So they have a small area above the door entering a corridor into their space.
Okay. And I go back to exhibit number 4 here. I had to talk just a little bit about how the area was determined for the signs that you're requesting approval for here.
The actual areas were determined by the individual tenants, but they're based on reasonable proportionality with the design facades, but intended to make them visible from the parking lot and somewhat beyond.
Okay. I'm going to go back now to the overall site plan, and we're going to kind of hit this. So if you can see where I'm pointing in my cursor now, this would be the front facade of those buildings. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, where are the entrances primary to the shopping center?
So all entrances to the center are off of May Street. There's no entrance off of Hershey Park Drive or 422.
Yeah, okay.
and no portion of the building that you were identifying is actually visible from the actual entrances. The bottom left corner main entrance indicates that's the bottom of a hill. Climb that hill, and right when you pass the Panera Bread, at that point you're at the top of the hill, and basically the shopping center opens up to you. At that point, you're approximately 475 feet from the face of the Kmart or the old Kmart building.
So that would be, as I'm pointing the distance from here to along there, sort of this line that I'm tracing here. That's about 475 feet away. And that is that really the visibility point that you're most concerned about for tenant awareness is really from this kind of this point looking in?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to have, I'm going to show you one more exhibit here. Okay, this is what I've marked as exhibit number 9. And, oops, I want to get the same one. Okay, can you identify what this is?
So this is a rendering prepared to show the lineup of all the proposed tenants with their signage superimposed as permitted under the code.
So each one has less than 45 square feet.
That is correct.
So if I flip between that one and compliant, non-compliant, that's really the difference, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, what's the problem with signs that are now shown in exhibit number 9?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, what's the problem with the signs that are shown in exhibit 9, the compliant ones?
They're as I see it on my computer screen, which would be similar to when you get to the top of the hill or even worse from Hershey Park Drive, they're barely visible. As you can see, the Planet Fitness sign is practically invisible, as is the Five Below. The TJ Maxx, Big Lots are slightly more visible, just because they have more block type letters.
Okay. And you would need these, obviously, visibility, and for any signage, is it's there for customer awareness and visibility to get the customer into your store. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And that's common for all retailers.
That's correct.
Okay.
Especially in the shopping center such as this.
Okay. So now let's go down. I got one more exhibit, and that's exhibit number 10. All right, so we have a series of 4 photographs here that I'm going to put them on the screen. If you could just explain, first of all, did you take these or someone take these under your direction and control?
The project manager that I have overseeing the day-to-day on this project took these photographs this past week. Kind of hard to believe looking at them that this was this past week.
It does not look like it right now. Right?
No.
No. All right, so we have the first, there's a little one here, and there's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 down in each corner. What's the first view? Where is this taken from, and what is it showing?
This is the view of the side of the building from Route 422, Chocolate Avenue.
So I'm just going to flip right back to exhibit number 1, and I'm going to point. It's somewhere up in the area here where it says US 422.
A little further down, right around there.
Okay. Was down in that area. Okay. And are the signs visible from there?
No, there are no signs. That's just showing the side of the building.
Right, so you can't even see the front of the building. Okay, so let's go to the second picture. And if I go down on my exhibit number 1, where is that taking now? Just down further here?
Further west. Right, a little further west on 422. Okay. So you can start to see the facade of the Planet Fitness and the Big Lots.
Okay. Now there's no signage on there now. You just see the facade.
That's correct.
And those are the new facades that are being constructed, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So now we have a, what's been marked is there's a third picture. And where's this?
This is a view from Hershey Park Drive.
Okay. And if I go down on exhibit number one and I kind of move up, are we down here in the bottom area?
No, further down. Down right about there. Yep.
Right on there. So basically almost dead center in front of the center. Is that correct?
That's yes. It's approximately 975 feet away.
All right. So just so we know what we're looking at, I'm going to try to, well, I don't know if I can expand this, but I see here in the middle a little green thing. Is that the Panera Bread?
That's the back of the Panera Bread.
And there's like a line that comes up from the middle here. Is that the driveway?
That's the main entry drive, yes.
And you had testified that as you drive up here, you can't really see anything at the center until you get to the top part.
Correct.
Right? And then
yeah, anybody on here who's familiar with the center should be aware of that.
And then when you get over this area here, that's what I'm putting that's my cursor
the, right. The main drive aisle is running towards the strip where you can the strip building where you can start seeing the shopping center.
I say you can see the facades. They seem to be fairly small though. Correct.
That's yes, I would say.
All right, let's go to the last one that we have. And where was this picture taken?
This is taken from across Hershey Park Drive. Forgive me, I don't recall the name of the that is May Street on the other side.
Over here?
Yeah, it's a little further up, pretty much out in front of these sheets that's across the way.
All right, so again, this is across the street looking at the center. All right, so let's go back to that picture. It looks similar to the third one. We can see the facades, correct?
Barely.
Okay. All right. Now the signage that you're proposing here, given the views we have here, doesn't seem like it's really effective for attracting people way off of Hershey Park Drive. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Fair statement.
It's just because given the configuration of the property sitting up high in the out parcels buildings, they seem to block what's going on, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, now let's go talk a little bit about the, you know, some of the variance standards here. Now we are going through asking for dimensional relief for the areas of these signs. And was shown in exhibit number 9, it is possible to put on compliant signs. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
What would that do to you if we put those signs on there? What would it do as to your tenants, and how would that affect this project?
As we're all seeing here, these are barely visible, and that would be the situation for anybody entering the shopping center. And it would be detrimental to the brand awareness and the customer awareness to these facilities. As I mentioned, the tenants rely on brand awareness and quick recognition by customers. And in a shopping center such as this, Hershey is being a tourist destination, a lot of the customers who come to the center are not familiar with the center, so they wouldn't automatically know that these retailers are in this shopping center.
So in other words, if they're driving up the entrance drive,
they might be looking for the Panera.
Going to Panera, for instance,
or the five times.
They want to be able to see what it looks like on there. And is it your testimony that the compliant signs here that I'm showing on the screen, as opposed to, this, which is the looking for, that would give the proper brand recognition for those tenants. Is that correct?
At least from the parking lot.
Yes, it would be. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you are doing a rehabilitation of an existing facility, correct?
That is correct.
So we're not, you know, taking down green space. We're using an empty shell of the building. And how long is
it? We actually slightly reduced the size of the building from 107 down to about 103,000 square feet.
Okay. And how long was the Kmart empty?
It was vacant for 2 years.
Okay. And obviously it seems to be important to get tenants in there that thrive. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And is proper signage for a multi-tenanted place like this important to maintain a thriving center?
Absolutely.
Especially when one goes through a rehabilitation.
Right. We weren't collecting any rent from that large building for 2 years.
Okay. And that would have an effect, I would imagine, on some of the other tenants that are within the center.
Absolutely. There are clauses in the lease that if there's an extended period of time under which a tenant such as the Kmart isn't there, those tenants would have the right to vacate as well, okay, if they so desire.
And do you believe that this the requested relief, the increase in the individual signs, would have any impact on any neighboring properties?
No, I don't believe so at all.
Okay. And is it your testimony that these signs really are necessary for the economic redevelopment of the Kmart site?
Of the Hershey Square Shopping Center, yes.
Yeah, sure, the shopping center, correct. Thank you. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Good. Okay. That's all the direct testimony we have. I'd ask that the 10 exhibits be admitted into the record.
Yeah, we'll admit those all into the record.
Should I stop screen share? Is that?
Why don't you keep that up for now until I see if we have questions from board members?
Sure.
Questions from any of the board members?
I have no questions.
I don't have any questions.
No, I'm good.
I have one. How do you have any renderings or any other information? How do these signs compare to the size of the signs on the other existing storefronts along that same side to the left of where Five Below is proposed to be?
Like Weiss's and the State Store, you mean?
Weiss and the other stores in between there, the State Store, UPS, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Pablo?
So the only other facility, the only other tenant as large as any of those tenants in there is really the Weiss. The State Store is as big as is slightly larger than the Five Below, and their sign is obstructed entirely from view from anywhere outside the shopping center. Theirs is a little bit smaller than is proposed, but the Weiss sign, I believe they received a variance before we bought the shopping center to get a larger sign, and theirs is in keeping, I believe, with the signs that are proposed here.
You don't have any specific exhibits or specific measurements,
square footage, or I do not.
My understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that the prior variances that were granted allowed a 4-foot height. Is that correct? Other than for the Kmart itself.
Sounds correct, but I can't say with absolute certainty.
Okay. And what you're asking for is between 6 and 8 and a 12 feet here for these four signs.
I don't believe anybody's right. Asking for 12 feet.
No, I said 8 and 1/12. So eight feet and 1 inch, I guess.
Yeah, the Planet Fitness, which is probably the least visible from the entrance, is seeking the large sign. Yes.
And this is maybe a question for staff, but also for potentially Mr. Sir, for you as well. I want to make sure you're asking for that relief from the right section. Chuck, could you please verify? It looks to me like it's section 225-401.4.F.B.1. Can someone please verify that?
Yep.
Did I miss an F?
I think so, but again, I want the experts to confirm, okay. Please. I want to make sure we're ruling on the right. We're giving you
Nobody embraces the numbering system of this zoning ordinance. It's 225-401.4.F. Point B, table 36. At the end of the day, it's table 36.
I apologize for that.
8.1. Okay. No, I just, again, want to make sure we have the right thing in whatever action the board takes. So would you like to amend your application to just reflect that?
Yes, I would amend my application to reflect relief from the section just quoted.
And then I have one other question for staff, and that is, so Chuck, in the table, I see there are two options relative to wall signs. One talks about the 45 square feet Mr. Scher was referencing. That is listed as option two, I believe. And then option one indicates that as long as a sign does not exceed 3 feet in one of either the vertical or horizontal direction, that it would be compliant. And then I'm not sure, it's kind of vague about what controls the other dimension. Could you explain that, please, Chuck?
Sure. So on a property that, like this one, that's over, has over 300 foot of frontage, sign area for wall signs doesn't count against the total area permitted on the property. So the actual square footage isn't as important per se. If the property was had less than 300 foot of road frontage, then the wall signs would be counted in the total sign area permitted on the property. So that being said, because this is over 300 foot road frontage, there's one of two things that regulate the size of the sign. One is 3 foot high or 3 foot wide by any length. So that's option one. And the other really is put into the ordinance to make way for medallion type signage. The burger on Permanti, I guess, would be an example where if you're going to exceed the 3 feet, then we're going to limit you to 45 square foot of sign area. So in this case, they're asking for relief from the 45 feet wide or tall. Did that make sense?
Yeah, so it could actually be worded probably either way then, relief either from the 45 or from the 3 foot height. Is that correct?
I would think so, yes.
Okay, all right, great. Thanks for explaining that. Yeah, just want to make sure I was clear about that. Okay, I don't have any more questions, but I do want to see, are there any members of the public that have any testimony that they want to give regarding this case?
I see no hands raised.
Okay. All right. Well, then we will close this hearing. And I will just let you know that the board has 45 days to render a decision. And you have 30 days thereafter to appeal it if you so choose.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
All right. So we'll move on then to our next hearing. This is in the case of Sweet Dreams Properties LLC, case number 2020-14. And who do we have here tonight representing the applicant?
Hi, my name is David Schutte. I'm with the law firm of Troutman Pepper and its Harrisburg office. I'm here this evening with Roger Brock, who is the principal at Sweet Dreams Properties, LLC. And Bob Fox will also testify. However, for the testimony, what I think the best way to do this would be, I'm gonna summarize the high points of the application and then have Mr. Brock and Mr. Fox just verify under oath that what I said is true and correct. That works for the board.
Yeah, that's fine. If I can ask you all to then raise your right hand then, please. Okay, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that our court reporter has got everything she needs with, as far as names before we proceed. Okay, great. All right, go ahead, Mr. Schutte.
Yes, proceed. Thank you. Again, David Schutte represent Sweet Dreams Properties, LLC. Sweet Dreams is the owner of the property at 1512 East Caracas Street. The property measures 1.36 acres and is located in the Palmdale mixed-use zoning district on the Derry Township zoning map. It's improved with a 17,500 square foot brick commercial office building and 70 parking spaces. The property was, or the building was constructed in the mid 90s following approvals in 1993 and 1994. Before a change in the zoning ordinance, which made commercial office no longer permitted use on this property. And at present, within the Palmdale mixed use zoning district, office and other similar uses are not permitted uses within the zoning district. However, has been used as an office building consistently since the mid 90s when it was constructed and permitted to be an office building pursuant to a decision by this board. As of January 1st, 2020, there were five tenants in the building taking up, I think, a majority, if not all of the net space in the building. And that was Free Spirit Yoga, Whitting Turner Contracting Company, Coco Counseling, Advocacy Alliance, and Sleep Analysis Consultants, with Sleep Analysis Consultants taking up 6,000 square feet as of the first of the year. In the spring of the year, due to the effects of the COVID-19 problems, Sleep Analysis Consultants ceased its operations and vacated space in the building. Since then, Mr. Brock has listed the property, or listed that space with Mr. Fox for lease. The Sleep Analysis Consultants under the current Derry Township Zoning Ordinance definitions would be a medical related research facility. Mr. Brock has received some interest from a couple chiropractors whose operations in that space would be considered a healthcare practitioner's office. So what we're asking this evening for is a special exception under section 225-603 of the zoning ordinance, which allows the zoning hearing board to grant by special exception permission to change one non-conforming use to another non-conforming use, provided that the proposed non-conformity is no more detrimental than the existing non-conformity. I'll submit to you that there's no real difference in the detriment to the neighboring properties or the general area between the Sleep Analysis Consulting use as a medical related research facility and a chiropractor or similar medical healthcare practitioner's office. I did mention earlier that the property does have 70 parking spaces, and using just general calculations without really being sure as to the number of professionals that will be in the It would be in the chiropractic offices or other healthcare practitioners' offices that there's ample parking under your ordinance for such uses, and historically there has been sufficient parking at that site without any overload parking or any street parking necessary. So that's what we're presenting to you this evening. I'm gonna ask Mr. Brock and Mr. Fox to both confirm that what I've said is true and correct.
I would confirm that.
Okay. Roger, you're on mute.
Unmute, yes, I can, yes.
Okay, and as far as exhibits go, the application has already been submitted, and the application has any exhibits that would also provide documentary support for the testimony that's been provided this evening. And I'm available, as well as Mr. Brock and Mr. Fox, for any questions related to this application.
David.
Yeah.
The sleep analysis consultants, how did they, you say that is a current non-conforming use. How did that all happen? Did they appear before the board? Do you happen to know to get in there?
No, I, when I bought the building, and Bob, you sold it to me, when I buy it, 06, something right. Like that.
2000, yep.
Yeah. It was, I bought the building at the same time we were building out the sleep study place, and it was just there. I'm not sure how it happened.
Oh, it was already there when you bought the building.
No, we bought the building at the same time we were building out the sleep analysis, because I own the sleep analysis part as well.
Yeah, let me add there to it. Mr. Brock came in to secure a permit to build this out, and had been deemed at that time that it would be a permissible use. I wasn't involved in a discussion, but a permit was granted for him to build this out.
Okay. I was just curious about that.
But, yeah, hey, Mike, if I can add on to your question. What year was that was done?
Around 2006.
2007 was when the building is the date of the deed.
Yeah, I had the same question. And similarly with Coco Counseling, so that's a use similar to the use that you're requesting in this application, isn't it?
It falls under the same definition, that's correct. Yeah, Coco Counseling is also a healthcare practitioner's office.
Yeah. Again, did that come before this board previously?
And I'm not certain of the history of the property, but in 1993 or 1994, it was in 1994 was when this board granted the right to use the property for office space. As the definitions of office space may have changed over the 90s and early 2000s in the maybe three or four iterations of the zoning ordinance from 1993 till the present. I'm guessing that whenever these things did come to be, they may not have needed to have changed from one office use to another office use under the special exception provisions that we're talking about now. They may have all just been general office uses at the time under the applicable ordinance.
I guess my question is also, is it considered a special exception because it's currently a non-conforming use, a substitution for a non-conforming use for another non-conforming use? Or yes. What? That's the reason. So if we didn't have any non-conforming uses, then we would be looking at, would we still be looking at a special exception? Would that, Chuck?
So if it was a permitted use, no, this would not be before the board. And what Dave has summarized is...
No. If all the other places, if this would be the first non-permitted use, would this still be considered a special exception?
No, at that point, it would be a variance. It would be a use variance.
Okay, that's what I thought. Just wanted to clarify that.
I can fill in just a little bit of the history as I know it as well, because I was curious of the same thing as everybody else. How did the sleep center get to be there? And as near as I can tell from this property's had really an odd history. The zoning ordinance changed after the plan was approved, but before the building was constructed. So that did come before the board. But then as we've refined our zoning ordinance in 2017, because of our proliferation of medical uses within the township, we really put a finer edge on those type of uses than probably existed in the 1993 zoning ordinance. And I think that's how some of these other uses may have come in here, that office was office and it was permitted. The sleep center came in before I was employed by the township, but that's my best guess of the evolution of the property.
Seems like maybe we want to go back to the good old days on this.
Well, bear in mind, Mike, we've taken a lot of variances off the table with the newer ordinance.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Good question, Mike. I had similar thoughts. Chuck, so let me kind of follow on to that. And this, there is a in the application or the narrative, there was a footnote there regarding footnote number 5 regarding the parking. Has the township, has your office looked at the parking provided versus the parking necessary? If this were being permitted from the start, and how is it different from the current? Has that been looked at? You're on mute, Chuck.
That would have been done when the sleep center went in. Since that time, we've not, recalibrated the parking for the uses in there. Prior to issuing any permit, as David, I believe, testified, they're not sure how many practitioners or professionals they're going to have there. And is that correct, David?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's still listed. There's no lease signed. We just want to be able to do that lease without having to come back to this board and be able to do it quickly.
So I guess what their testimony is that they won't upset the parking counts. Parking for that type of use is one for each professional that does not see patients, and 3 for each professional that does see patients. So, we'd have to assess the entire building. And since we don't have a finite application, no, that's not been done at this point. I can tell you, though, I live about 3 blocks from it and I've never seen parking issues there.
So is that part of, is there an application that needs to still be made after if this special exception was granted regarding the parking or not? I'm not clear what the process is, Chuck, with your team.
So I believe that in marketing this property, as was testified, they've had at least 2 chiropractors look at it. In each case, they were concerned with the time that it would take to get through the zoning hearing board and how, quickly they may want to operate. I believe what Mr. Brock and Mr. Fox are trying to do is get some flexibility and some upfront knowledge as they continue to seek tenants for this to be able to offer it for this type of use, with the understanding that it would not, that they're not seeking any other variances.
Thank you. Other questions from board members? Okay, how about anybody from the public? Okay, hearing none, we'll bring this hearing then to a close, unless you have something, anything else, Mr. Tushuti?
Nope. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
And again, the board has 45 days to make a decision, and you have 30 days thereafter to appeal if you so choose. Yep. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have our third hearing tonight in the case of Brian Wheeler, case number 2020-15. I hope I pronounced your name right, Mr. Wheeler.
Very close, Wheeler.
Okay. Wheeler, okay. All right, thank you.
Before we begin, I'd like to disclose that I have represented Brian in corporate matters. And I've also represented Honor Engineer, who is the engineer in this case, in corporate matters as well. None of them have to do with the application here, and it would not affect my advice as solicitor of the board. But I wanted to make that disclosure.
Thank you, Megan.
And if I could, before you get started, please, I just wanted to let you know that Jeffrey Wheeler is also in attendance. Did you want him over to speak, or is he just here to observe?
I believe just to observe.
Okay, very good.
Are you the only one testifying, Mr. Wheeler, or are there others that you have with you tonight?
I have the engineer that helped prepare the plans, Jared Hockenberry, here with me, so he may testify if any questions come up.
Okay, well, let me swear both of you in then first before we get started. If you'd both raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. I do.
Okay, thank you. You may proceed.
Mr. Wheeler, before you proceed, Mr. Hockenberry, what was the name of the engineering firm?
The name is Honor Engineer Company.
Can you spell the first name? Is it just H-O-N-E-R?
H-O-N-O-R.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody. Appreciate your time here this evening. And I did prepare a PowerPoint presentation that I'd like to share with you as I walk through the proposed project and provide some background on the property, and then talk more specifically about the variance request that's being made. So bear with me for a moment. All right, hopefully you can see my screen here. Yes.
Yes, Brian.
Okay, great. All right, so the property in question, the address is 1130 Wood Road. It was previously referred to as lot number 1210 as part of the original subdivision plan. And sorry, I need to move this so I can see the top. So this is the parcel number. This property is within the residential zoning district R1. The question at issue is that there's an environmental overlay that impacts large portion of the project in terms of containing slopes in excess of 20%. As I said, the lot number 1210 was the designation given as part of the Roseland subdivision. The proposed use is one single family residence on the 3.831 acre parcel. And the variance request is to enable the project to be built on areas where natural slopes are greater than 20%. This is the parcel here. This is the, as you know, the Derry Township zoning map. This red arrow is just pointing to the location of the parcel. It's right by the intersection of Bullfrog Valley Road and Wood Road. It's adjacent to the Bullfrog Valley Pond. This is just an aerial image of the parcel here outlined in this yellow highlight. This is the Bullfrog Valley Pond and the adjacent park and parking area. This is an image that illustrates the slopes in the vicinity of the parcel that are in excess of 20%. The darker red area denotes the locations in excess of 20% slopes. I just wanted to include this just to illustrate that this condition is not unique to this parcel and is fairly common in the hills here behind the medical center. Okay, so just to give provide some background here on this parcel, it was part, as I said, of the what was called the Roseland subdivision, which was comprised of four lots. And those four lots are presented here, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And this was a subdivision plan that was approved by the Board of Supervisors in 1985. And as you can see, it included a private access road referred to as Roseland Drive that was intended to provide access to all four building lots. In 1990, a subdivision plan was submitted that essentially took a portion from this lot number 1200 and added it to 1210. So that created the parcel that exists today, which is the 3.831 acres. So that was just a re-subdivision plan that was approved by the board in 1990. Okay, so this was the initial site plan that that we developed, myself working with Jared. And you can see this being overlaid on the satellite image. The home being situated here on what is a knob here, kind of on the top of the slope. And the driveway was shown following what is an access road, an existing access road, but it's just a dirt road that I think was maybe historically used for logging purposes. Anyway, I'm illustrating this because Jared and I met with Chuck in early October to get his initial feedback on this proposal. One of the things that was suggested was, is there anything that could be done to reduce the disturbance footprint? Or to condense the proposal to minimize the disturbance area. So taking that feedback into consideration, we developed a revised site plan that shortened the driveway pretty significantly and allowed us to compress the overall disturbance footprint for the property. And I can walk through some more details about the site plan in subsequent slides here. So what you're looking at here, the green areas are areas with slopes in excess of 20%. The darker green are slopes in excess of 30%. The light green are slopes in excess of 20%. So as I was saying, you know, there's a bit of a knob here where there are slopes less than 20%. That's these white areas. And you'll see some of the lighter green here. So we tried to position the proposed residence in a location where the slopes were generally 20% or less to the extent possible. The other thing I would like to point out on this drawing is the plan is to include mechanically stabilized earth berms along this boundary here, this line that's depicted in orange. That's another type of structure. It's like a retaining wall in essence, with some slight differences, but it serves the same function, and it helped to essentially level the site and to terrace it to facilitate the construction of a home. The berms, if you look here in this cross section, also allow for the disturbance area to be more compact. So if you weren't using these berms or retaining walls, the fill slope would extend much further downhill, if you can picture that. So by using, you know, these retaining walls or MSE berms, it allows the disturbance area to be minimized. The other thing I'll mention is that this area here has been identified as a location for the stormwater management. This is a spot that has some flatter areas, and the concept would be to have an infiltration type basin located here. The discharge from this basin would, you know, for anything that didn't infiltrate, would discharge to the outfall from the stream, essentially, that is fed by Bullfrog Valley Pond. So the other, you know, benefit of the way this is laid out is that less stormwater will be directed towards the pond itself, knowing that there's, you know, been historical challenges with flooding with the pond. The water that would fall in this area would go into this basin. Much of it would infiltrate, but that portion of it that did not would discharge to the stream down gradient of the pond. So that was one of the other things I wanted to mention. The other thing I think that's noteworthy on this drawing is that this area in blue is the proposed building area that would impact slopes in excess of 20%. So that is the specific area that the zoning variance is being requested for. And that area constitutes 0.406 acres. So based on a review of the zoning ordinance, relief is not needed for ingress or egress to the dwelling, nor is it necessary for the stormwater controls associated with that. So that's why the relief is being sought just for this area that is shaded in blue. All right. The MSE berms, if you're not familiar with them, I just thought I'd show a picture or two of them. That's what you're seeing here. So this is a more conventional retaining wall here on the left. This is what's called a mechanically stabilized earth berm. The nice thing about these structures is that you can have a vegetated face instead of a concrete or segmental retaining wall type face. So it can give a much more natural appearance. This one in particular has ivy growing on it, as you can see. Others have a grass or other types of vegetative cover on the face. So they're a pretty natural looking system, which is one of the reasons that it's being chosen for this site. This down here just shows this is the MSE berm portion here. This is a more conventional retaining wall up top there. The proposed berms, the maximum height on the site will be 13 feet. The berms themselves would be designed by a professional engineer and would be reviewed and PE sealed before any construction would commence. Okay, so obviously the variance request is based on a hardship case. I know that you have the full application, so I won't read through all of the responses, but I think there's a couple things that are worth mentioning. Number one, the topographical conditions create the hardship. It's a function of the topography, not one that was created by myself or anyone else. The part that I wanted to just talk about here this evening was, what circumstances would eliminate any possibility that the property could be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the zoning ordinance, and why therefore is a variance necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property. So you may have noticed that there are some areas on the property that are less than 20%. And I wanted to talk about those areas. The one is located here down at the base of the slope. That's essentially immediately adjacent to the walking path and the bike trail. So that's one location where there's a bit of a flat spot. Now, what I did is I overlaid the limits of flooding from the Tropical Storm Lee in 2011. This was a study that that was commissioned by the township. And as you see here, this area is low-lying and it is subject to flooding during pretty intense rainfall events. So, that's not a viable location for a home. The other area where there's a flatter spot is down here, closer to Wood Road. While theoretically you could construct a home here, there is a setback imposed along Wood Road. As you may know, the community heritage buffer is a 100-foot setback from the Wood Road right away. So that setback would preclude the development of a home at that location. So based on that, this location here is really the only viable location on the property, and it's one of the flatter areas on the property to begin with. The other thing that I think is worth noting is that this location would provide a wooded buffer of approximately 120 feet from the bike path and walking trail. So it provides an aesthetic buffer and visual screening from the Bullfrog Valley Pond and the park area. So again, I don't think it's necessary to go through the full hardship request basis unless, there are questions on that. The proposed development is consistent with the zoning designation. It's already a, R1 zoned area. The proposed plan seeks to minimize this disturbance area of slopes in excess of 20% by using retaining walls and MSE berms. And the proposed development will also incorporate modern erosion and stormwater management controls satisfactory to the township and the township's engineers. And a fairly sizable vegetative buffer will be retained between the development and the adjacent Bullfrog Valley Park and Pond, such that the project is not detrimental to the public welfare. So again, the specific request is to allow for the development of one single family dwelling on a 3.831 acre parcel, and to allow for the disturbance of 0.406 acres of slope in excess of 20%, which represents the least modification possible of the regulation in question. So this is just the overall site plan that Jared and Honor Engineering helped to prepare here. I don't think there's really anything else that I wanted to point out on here. Jared, was there anything else that you wanted to touch on that I may have glossed over?
No, I don't think so, Brian. I think that was a pretty good summary of the application.
Okay, well then I'll stop there and try to answer any questions that you folks may have.
Hey, Brian, this is Mike Angelo. First of all, I want to say excellent presentation. You obviously thought through and anticipated potential issues about the proposed plan, so thank you. As I was listening to your presentation, I was jotting down a few things, and I just want some confirmation on things for the record. And if you can either clarify these or just confirm these with me with a yes, that would be fine. Or if it's a no, then you can explain. But the grading and the retaining wall plans, in essence, they take a relatively steep existing slope and terrace them more or less to reduce the velocity of the current stormwater from the existing property. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. And your stormwater plan, it's going to reduce the peak flows from what already exists into the Bullfrog Valley Pond.
Yeah, that's correct, because the stormwater will discharge downstream of the pond itself. Less of the water will be going into the pond as it does today.
Okay. And I think you addressed this. You're going to employ the best management practices by using the whatever he says, silt fence and the sock berms or whatever they're called, and avoid the erosion and the sedimentation into the Bullfrog Valley Pond.
Yeah, that's good. There will be erosion and sedimentation controls implemented for construction to ensure that there's no sediment discharge in the direction of the pond.
Okay. And I guess the last thing would be, could you verify what you said the buffer was, the wooded buffer that you're maintaining between your property and the trail?
Yeah, it's approximately 120 feet. The reason I say approximate is I don't have the surveyed boundary of the bike path itself to give a precise measurement, but using the satellite image, I'm coming up with right about 120 feet, plus or minus a couple feet.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. So do you notice the dimension of that buffer to the property line?
No, it's slightly less than 120 feet. The property line is right here. So.
Okay. No, I just didn't know if you might have that more specifically than to the trail. Okay.
Yeah, Jared, do you know that number by chance?
I don't, I'm sorry, but I would add that I believe the trail does encroach onto your property close to that back corner, right, with an easement that was previously granted?
Yeah, that is correct. The trail crosses this southeast corner of the property.
Probably pretty close to the property line.
Thank you. a follow on kind of the Mike's questions. So as far as the stormwater conveyance then from the area that you're developing down to the detention area, how is that going to be conveyed down there, and what's the disturbance associated with constructing that?
Yeah, so we haven't developed the final stormwater design yet. So what we're presenting is conceptual at this time. That will, of course, be developed if the zoning variance is approved. But the concept would be for there to be either a swale, a stormwater swale, or a pipe to convey the water that would collect from the footprint of the house and the driveway down the hill to the pond.
Okay, yeah, I just want to make sure we're clear about what the area of disturbance will be, because I think on an earlier slide you had shown a limit of disturbance that was limited to where the driveway and house and associated things right around the house and the retaining walls were going to be. So there'll be some additional disturbance then, potentially, towards the down towards the pond.
That is correct, Steve. Our interpretation of the ordinance is that the disturbance associated with the stormwater management does not require a variance for the slopes in excess of 20%.
And so is it the intention that the areas that are not disturbed within the limits you show, plus what's necessary to construct the stormwater facilities, is it your intention to keep the rest of the site wooded?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Steve, following up with your question, I guess, made me think of something about the retaining walls. And Brian, I assume are you a PE?
Yes.
Okay, I figured. It's my understanding that any wall heights over a certain threshold, I don't know what that threshold is. They have to be, looked at by a registered PE, and I'm sure you know better than me. But the designs, they'd be designed by a PE and sealed by a PE. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I'm not exactly sure what the trigger is in terms of height that would require an engineer to design it. I think it might be 4 feet, but nevertheless, these berms, considering that they would go up to about 13 feet, will most definitely be designed and sealed by a professional engineer.
Okay. Thank you, Steve, for... All right. Thank you, Brian.
Sure.
Sandy or Dean, any questions?
I think you covered my question, Steve.
I have a question.
Okay. Any members of the public?
Wait, Dean had a question.
I'm sorry.
I have no question.
Sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Any members of the public that wish to speak?
I see no hands raised.
All right. Well, then thank you, gentlemen, for your presentation. And again, the board has 45 days to make a decision, and you have 30 days to appeal thereafter if you so choose.
Okay. For your time.
Thank you. Okay. I don't. Is there any other business from any of the board members? Or.
Staff, I would. Oh, sorry.
Or staff or council. Okay. If not, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
That's Andy.
Yes. Sorry.
Andy Ballard. Okay. I'll second that. Okay. Steve Seidel seconding. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, we stand adjourned. Thank you. We'll see you at the board. I guess I need to announce that we were going to retire to deliberation on these cases, to executive session. Okay.